Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
Last 24 hours, the fire activity in the Coast Range in southern Oregon and Medford areas, according to the Oregon Department of Forestry, significant evacuations there. We're talking about the McKenzie Highway area fire, now at 100,000 acres. Whole valley is evacuated. Be careful out there. Make sure that you follow protocols. Stay safe. Make good decisions. And for the people out there on the front lines fighting those fires, I just have so much respect for the individuals who are out there risking their lives to try to save life and property. Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. We could talk recruiting with Prehm, but I also want to talk family. He had a tweet yesterday. His son, obviously aware of what's going on in the world. Matt, how are you, man?
Good. How you doing?
Doing all right. Can't complain. I'm looking at the skies right now, though, and I'm worried about our state. let's fill people in. What, your son, at bedtime yesterday, what were his thoughts?
Yeah, you know, sports in my house kind of rule the roost, if you will. And it had taken me about 35, 45 minutes to get the five-year-old to calm down from the Lakers Rockets game and a bunch of other, you know, sports stuff that he watched on TV. And we're in bed around 9:30, and he just kind of rolls over after about 5 minutes of quiet and just says, "Dad, our house didn't burn down. It was a good day, and it could have burned down, but it didn't. And we get one extra day in the house." And, you know, every once in a while, some kids, I tweeted out that, you know, little kids just kind of really make you get some perspective and realize that, you know, it could be a lot worse. And you feel awful for the people that are dealing with, you know, where I live here in Springfield, Blue River, and some of the places up in the McKenzie, that everything's gone. They lost everything. Anything that they couldn't get out of their house and in their cars, their motorhomes, it's gone. And that's sickening. It's awful. I've never seen anything like this before in my life. I'm 34. I've lived 29 of those years here in the Eugene Springfield area. And John, I took my dog on a walk this morning because he has to get out of the house and run. And I'm literally walking, and dust of ash is lifting up off the ground into the sky with every single step I take. I've never seen that before.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. You know, I wrestle with this. Our six-year-old is super tuned in. She's looking outside. She's asking me a lot of questions. I wrestle with, you know, making sure the kids know what's going on, but also not making them anxious about it. How do you manage that?
Yeah, it's difficult. Kids are resilient, man. They, you know, you can throw a lot at them, and just somehow, some way, they find ways to get through it. And you know, I think it's helped them understand that what's been going on with COVID-19, and sending them down and telling them that this is serious and that we're okay, and if we listen to what we're supposed to do, that we'll be fine. And, you know, mom and dad are keeping an eye on things, and, you know, we'll let you know if it gets bad. But, you know, my wife kind of went through a packing phase last night or yesterday afternoon, and she came home from work early and help the kids. It kind of made it a game of, you know, we need to pack a week's stuff in your bag in case we need to leave. And she did that for both kids, and then help me get all our toiletries together, and help us, you know, get, you know, toilet paper and paper towels. And, you know, let's get a box of toys that we really want to take home, you know, if we have to leave our house for a little bit. And, you know, that really kind of created a, you know, a sense of calm for them. And they knew something was up, and, you know, the older one has a better idea than the younger one, but even the younger one knows that, you know, this isn't good. You know, the sky isn't supposed to be red. There isn't supposed to be ash falling from the sky. And, you know, we're all, you know, staying home, and, you know, but finding little ways to just, hey, you know, we're going to make a bag, and this is going to be all your special toys. And let's find all your special toys and tell me why they're all special, because we don't want to lose them.
Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports. As you look outside right now, what do you see? I'm looking up at kind of a gray haziness in the sky. It doesn't exactly look like it's, you know, the 12 o'clock hour on a weekday.
Yeah, it's kind of orangish, light orange where I am out in Springfield. There's definitely a haze. I live the very edge of town, the northern part, northern western part of Springfield, right around I-5. And I can see the Coburg Hills. I can see, you know, on a normal day, I can look out on the Coburg Hills and I can tell you the color of a house that sits up on those hills. And they're a couple miles away, but, or a mile or so away, but you can get a good perspective of them. I can't even see the Coburg Hills. I live across from a hospital and it's a couple hundred yards away from my house. I can barely make out the hospital's, you know, towering buildings and the silhouettes of it. It's difficult to see here. It's difficult to breathe here. Like I said, go walk on the concrete. It's crazy, John. Like you go outside and you walk and literally ash dust just shoots up into the sky. And it's like, if you have hardwood floors and you don't sweep your house for a week and then you go and you broom everything up and put it into a pile to put it in the pan, those piles are what the ash is like as you walk down the street anywhere, whether it's on a street, sidewalk, a path along a river, it's everywhere. I've never seen that before.
Matt Prehm with us, 24/7 Sports. I feel silly talking sports on a day like today because I'm looking at what's going on and I'm worried about people in our state. I've got a friend who lives sort of, you know, a little bit rural, who was evacuated last night, and he, you know, he put on Facebook, you know, he evacuated the house and he was sort of crossing his fingers that something would be there in the end. How, you know, I also know that there are some people who are looking for a diversion, so I'm trying to balance it on the show today. It's really a strange day to do the show.
Yeah, D'Amo Lenore decided to go pro today. You know, Kingsley Salmatia committed to Oregon, highest rated tackle and offensive lineman in program history. Penei Sewell, day before that, went pro. You know, there's a lot going on, but at the same time, it's kind of like there's a lot of other stuff that's just more important in life right now than Oregon stuff. But at the same time, like you said, it has helped me a little bit to have some kind of direction of, hey, I need to write some stuff on this. I need to record a podcast, which I just did before coming on here with you, about D'Amore Lenore. It's something to get my mind away from obsessing over looking at, you know, the evacuation notices. I mean, I noticed before I came on today that they moved the eastern part of Springfield to a level 1 be ready alert. And they've pushed back all the people up the McKenzie River, 126, Blue River, Walterville, Vida, all of those communities that had to leave, they were put on to Thurston High School, and now they are being moved deeper into Springfield to Silky Field, which is where Springfield High School's football facility is at. And, you know, it's tough to balance. You know, you have to keep track of that stuff, but you can't obsess over it either, because then you'll just go stir crazy sitting inside. So it has helped me a little bit, knowing that there's some duck stuff that's pretty big news that's happened 3 days in a row now.
I am looking at some of the latest that is going out. Oregon Department of Forestry is saying that tomorrow begins a quote-unquote hopeful change in weather conditions, so that there is some daylight there. We're talking about the last 24 hours, though, significant fire activity in the Coast Range and Southern Oregon, of course, in Ashland and Medford. significant evacuations there. You mentioned Mackenzie Highway fire is now at 100,000 acres, according to the Oregon Department of Forestry. And so I'm hopeful that, you know, really this next stretch from today to tomorrow, if we can get there with minimal expansion of these fires, it looks like we're going to possibly get some hopeful change in the weather. That's something to look forward to and think on.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I know a lot of your listeners are in the Portland area, and you have a lot down here in the Eugene-Springfield area. But for the people in Portland that are unfamiliar with just the sheer size of what 100 acres is, think of the Portland, the size of Portland. That is how big the fire is right next to Springfield, Oregon. It's four times as big as Eugene.
The Oregon Department of Forestry is also saying to people, if you want to help, you can support the communities that are affected through nonprofits and helping agencies. More importantly, they do not want you to go to the fire to try to help put it out. They want you to stay home, and they want you to stay out of the impacted areas. That let the firefighters do their jobs. Matt Prehm, 24/7 Sports, with us. You mentioned a couple of developments on the Oregon front. Let's first talk about the players who have already opted out. Either one of those surprise you?
No, and it's what they should have done. And Penei Sewell, especially, top five pick, there's nothing for him to prove at Oregon in a year in which they won't be playing for a college football playoff. They'll be playing for a Pac-12 championship, but they're not in a discussion for the playoff. Why risk it? The reward is not worth the risk of hurting yourself and taking you out your rookie year. Diomede Lenore, I believe he should have gone pro like he did. I don't see the value in him returning, but I think you could make a pretty good counter argument that he could have positioned himself from being maybe a third or a second round draft pick to maybe a high second, maybe a first round draft pick. But at the same time, he's going to get drafted whether he played or not. And why hurt yourself by playing in a year in which you're not playing for a college football playoff, and God forbid you suffer some kind of nasty knee injury, or you get a shoulder injury or a labrum injury, and all of a sudden you can't compete in the combine, you can't compete in pro day, you can't go to individual workouts, you miss rookie minicamp because you're still rehabbing your injury. And the next thing you know, your rookie year is basically set back, and you lose a year because you can't play because of an injury that happened during the season that, quite honestly, and as brutally as it sounds, you're not playing for anything. It's not worth it.
Matt Prehm, the offensive line, Sewell leaves, but Mario Cristobal gets a big-time commitment from another kid in the state of Utah, also playing at Orem High School, which is where Penei Sewell's father, Gabriel, is the coach. How big a deal is the King coming to Eugene?
Oh, it's a big deal. Kingsley, I'm going to pronounce this, try and pronounce it correctly. Kingsley Suamatiya. Suamatiya. I already butchered it once. I just call him Kingsley. 6'5", 6'6", 270-pound offensive tackle, 280-pound guy. You hate to put this expectation on Kingsley, but he is, on paper, coming out of high school, a higher-rated recruit than Penei Sewell was. Very similar skill sets, very similar body types, athletically very talented, you know, similar in that regard as well. The theory is, Kingsley should be a guy that comes into Oregon and, at worst, is a rotational player as a true freshman, at best, is a starter. He should be that good for Oregon. And you mentioned it, Mario Cristobal has done a really good job recruiting this football program, especially up front along the offensive line. Because keep in mind, Kingsley isn't the only elite offensive tackle coming into the program as part of the 2021 recruiting class. Bram Walden is four spots behind Kingsley in the tackle rankings in the country. He is Arizona's top second recruit in the state of Arizona. Their top offensive line prospect, he's coming to Oregon as well. Jonah Miller, a four-star offensive tackle from Arizona, top 300 player in the country, he is also coming to Oregon. They have done a really good job recruiting tackles this cycle. They've got the top offensive lineman out west in Kingsley. They've got the second best offensive lineman in Bram Walden. And they've got four out of the five, I believe, top offensive line commits out west among those players. Jackson Light being the fourth. He's a center, four-star player. Good chance he bumps into the top 250. He's having a really good start to his senior year. Utah is playing high school football, and he's had a really impressive start to his senior season. So he could be in line for a big bump that comes next week for us in our rankings. And Oregon is set up for success along this position group. And, Stephen Jones is going to be the guy, I think, that replaces Penne at left tackle, who starts at right tackle, because that's where Stephen Jones was kind of pegged to be, is now the question. I think Stephen Jones is a first-round draft pick. It's just, does he do enough to go in 2021? Or more likely, he'll play 2 years and go as a redshirt junior and be the next first-round draft pick to come out of Oregon along the offensive line. He's huge. He's 6'7", 330 pounds, super athletic. What was in the same year as Penne Sewell, recruiting-wise, was a top, I think, 150 recruit in the country. Every big blue blood program wanted him. He had a stinger issue his freshman year, which prevented him from playing more than six games, and then they redshirted him last year because they had Penne Sewell. They didn't need to play him, and they had so many talented seniors on that team that could play tackle. There was no real need for Stephen Jones to play, but if Penne Sewell wasn't there, or if Calvin Throckmorton wasn't there at Oregon last year, Stephen Jones is a returning starter at tackle.
Matt Preem, 24/7 Sports. Stay safe, my friend. I appreciate you.
Hey, thanks a lot, John.
Good stuff from Preem. Want you all to stay safe. I'll take your phone calls. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? 503-417-7575. I want your phone calls, your experience, what you think this is about. You're wrapping your minds around the destruction that's going on in our state. 503-417-7575. I got two lines open. Grab those lines. The 1 o'clock arrow, you'll hear from John Wilner of the San Jose Mercury News. You'll hear my interview with Jason Puckett of KJR Radio in Seattle. He and I discussed Dr. Doug Aukerman's appearance on this show yesterday, and I wasn't going to play it, but I was rolling on the interview, and I thought, what the heck? It's a pretty good discussion between two media members in the Pac-12 about something that's important to the Pac-12, and I want you to eavesdrop on it. It is a juxtaposition for me because I'm the one being interviewed, and you're going to hear him as the host, but I want you to hear it. I think it's a very interesting interview. That's coming up in the 1 o'clock hour. I want you to leave it right here. Your phone calls, 503-417-7575. Tell me your experience. What are you seeing? What are you hearing? Have you had to...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.